the weakest economic growth in 2 years, 0.2% in 3 months to the end of June, and the biggest fall in our terms of trade in more than 50 years. That's what the latest figures from the Australian Bureau of Statistics have shown today about the Australian economy. But what does it actually mean? Jessica Irvine is an economics commentator and senior writer at the Sydney Morning Herald, and she joins us now. Thanks for stopping by.
Good evening. Happy National Accounts Day.
Yes, it's always exciting to know how we're going. And, well, it looks like grim news.
Yeah, well, grim. It's not good. These are not a good set of numbers. They're not a beautiful set of numbers as Paul Keating would have wanted. 0.2% growth in the quarter, that's half what economists were expecting. They were expecting 0.4, and even if you got that, that wouldn't have been a very good number. But with all these things, it depends where your expectations were. Mm. If you thought it was going to be negative, this is not a bad number. But there were some economists who were seriously thinking this would be the quarter where we went backwards, and you only need two quarters of going backwards, and then you've got a recession on your hands. So we have escaped that building block for a technical recession today.
So you've just shown me both sides.
Exactly.
You're so balanced.
Somewhere in the middle. Depends. If you like the government, you think these are a moderate and robust set of numbers. If you don't like the government, you think they're leading us off the precipice and we really should be doing a lot better than we are. And we've seen the to and fro today. Bill Shorten was trying to argue that this is the first evidence that we have that Joe Hockey is failing as a treasurer, because this is after his second budget was delivered in the middle of this quarter. And it's certainly not a strong set of numbers. Whether there's been enough time to react to the federal budget, and whether that budget has actually largely passed the Senate yet is starting to draw a long bow. But these are not numbers that the government, which is already on the back foot on sort of tax reform, would be too excited to see. It's a pretty close call as to whether Australia is in technical recession or heading that way.
So these things do have flow-on effects, though, and the dollar has fallen decisively, I think, below 70 cents for the first time, US cents, that is, for the first time in 6 years. Should we be alarmed about that?
Well, look, the time to book your trip to America is definitely over. We have been sort of enjoying this increased purchasing power that we've had over the rest of the world. And this is the real story, is that there's a difference between whether we're producing lots of widgets and how much we're getting paid for them. So we're still producing widgets, we're just not being paid as much for them. So our dollar is down, we can't buy as much, our income is down. There is a debate about whether we're in an income recession, because what our sort of real purchasing power over the rest of the world has been contracting for several quarters, for more than a year. So that's going to make us feel a lot poorer.
Now, the Treasurer, Joe Hockey, pointed out that this growth is small, but at least we're not in recession, as you pointed out, like other commodity-based economies, Brazil or, as of last night, Canada. Here he is. Let's take a listen.
Canada has gone into recession. Commodity prices are hitting the Canadian economy very hard. So too have commodity prices hit the Australian economy very hard, and yet we've had annual growth of 2.5%, which is very reassuring that the diversification of the Australian economy and our capacity to cope is starting to deliver the resilience that we always hope for, but most importantly, lay the foundations for future improved growth.
So is that a fair comparison to make? Because quarterly or annual, it depends when you get Joe Hockey on those comparisons, which one he'll use.
You definitely want to go annual, and it sounds like he's even using year average, which is a different measure altogether and gets you somewhat higher. On the quarter, it's bad news. But he's right to point out that Canada is doing worse, and we can sort of argue about, well, how do you pick which country we want to compare ourselves to? If you look at Greece, it grew by 0.7% in the quarter, so we're not even doing as well as Greece. But there is a point to be made that we are more akin to Canada and countries like even New Zealand and Norway, where commodity and resource intense economies. And actually, we survived the GFC pretty well. It was a pretty lovely crisis for many of us. If you didn't lose your job, unemployment did go up. But otherwise, you had interest rates come down. The China boom kept rolling on, where the mining boom kept going for quite a while. And actually, we're sort of having this echo effect from the GFC, where really that, you know, everyone else hit the skids. China came through for us. China is now petering out. So we are part of this group of countries like Canada, like Norway, who our commodities sustained us, and now we've really sort of run out of puff.
We've also spoken to Trade Minister Andrew Robb. He says this is about an economy in transition, and it reflects that. A very different perspective to the one that's been run, obviously, by the Labor opposition. How much can it be attributed to this kind of transitional effect? I mean, that is a very strong part of the story.
Yeah, transition's a really nice way of saying that, you know, your boyfriend's left you and you're just going through a transitional period while you look for, you know, someone else to go out with. There is a real loss of the mining sector and those high prices that we've had. So we've been talking about a transition. It's been this catch-all phrase that don't freak out. We're not having a end of a mining boom. We're having a transition to these other guys that just haven't turned up, like retail and construction. So that is the term that economists use. We're going through a transition, and hopefully that's comforting to people. But what that really means is that the thing that was sustaining us in the main has suddenly up and left.
And Jessica, of course, what we're seeing now is a push by the government to link all of this politically. I've got to say, I think it's quite potent to the China Free Trade Agreement and the benefits of that free trade agreement to the economy. How will the politics play out on this? I mean, is it true that this free trade agreement could really be really beneficial to rescuing our economy?
Well, the idea is that China is going to stop buying all our commodities, and it itself is going to transition again to a more consumer-oriented development path, that they'll buy lots of handbags and Chinese people will start to live that middle class lifestyle, and we'll be able to, instead of ship coal and iron ore, we'll ship handbags and services. And the trade agreement is really focused on that. It's been a decade in the making, but hopefully that's just a parliamentary kerfuffle and Labor will fall into line, as has been the tradition, that opposition parties support free trade agreements largely because they were probably responsible for negotiating the bulk of it.
That's dead true. Thanks for joining us this evening.
No worries.
And that's Jessica Irvine, senior writer at the Sydney Morning Herald, talking all things economic with me. It's almost 7 o'clock, which means it's news time, but we'll be back right after with the view from the front lines on Serbia dealing with the asylum seeker crisis.